morning. My name is Sean Lachlan. I'm the pastor here at the Haskell Bible Church. And I want to thank you for sending your children to Bible school. We had an outstanding week. It's the largest Bible school we've ever had. And I think it's the hottest. And thankfully, we put air conditioning in last week. We're all there. Yes. If you've never been to one of our programs before, we have a talking piano. And when it does this, doing some pledges and singing a salute song, and we begin by pledging our allegiance to the American flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you loved us so much. You sent him from heaven. He went to the cross. cross and there died in our place to pay for our sins. Thank you that he rose again, he lives evermore, and eternal life is free. And they know that I'm willing to put their faith in him alone. Thank you for that message. Thank you that these children were just a delight this week. We ask that you help them to do a good job tonight as they show us what they learned in Bible school this week. So undertake these things in your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Girls? Every year we have a theme song, and the song we chose this year was called Jesus Strong in Time. And we talk about how Jesus is strong. He's strong to storm seas. He's strong to take care of us. And he was strong enough to go to the cross and die in our place. And that's where his kindness comes in. It was the kindness and love of God that caused him to do that, to die in our place and to pay for our sins so we could be saved by the grace of God. So this was a song that we all enjoyed singing. And the kids enjoyed it and learned it well. So these girls are going to help me. Thank you. We're not going to be able to answer. We're going to see if this is. Hey, Gustafson. First, hey, you got to stand up, man. Can you do this one?
Yep.
Okay.
Some people try to whitewash sins, but only Jesus can wash sins white.
Yeah. All right. So, yes, and so the kids look with great anticipation. Some of these prizes are really cool if you're 6 or 7 years old. No? Let's say the other ones, kids.
Christ can calm the storms around us and the storms inside us.
Good job. And the first one we learned, the kids like this well, they say it really well. Get to
it. If you're born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you die once.
Way to go. I'd like to take a minute to, every day we gave a thought for the day, we explained the meaning behind it based on the biblical principle. And this one was the first one we did because it's really kind of an important one. There's a picture of a baby here, and all babies are born, what do you know? And they're born physically, and the stats are pretty much one out of one die. So eventually we all die, that's an unfortunate reality of life, that's how life goes. And this side we have a baby, and then we have someone who's gotten a little older. Now, what we notice about a baby can't make very many choices. They choose to cry and go to the bathroom. But other than that, they don't choose a whole lot else. But if they get older, they need to start to choose. And so, see, the reality is that we all die physically. Christ said something very important when he walked on the earth. He said in John 3:7, except a man be born again, can't see the kingdom of God, can't go to heaven. And so we're all born physically, we're all going to die physically. What we all need is a new birth. We need a birth from above. Jesus came, he said, I have come that you might have life, that's eternal life, and have an abundant life. The life Jesus offers is an abundant one. It's eternal, it lasts forever, and it's adequate for all our needs in time. And everyone has to make a choice to this. See, if you don't make a choice to accept Christ, there's a second death, the Bible says. And the death in the Bible means separation. You know, if I cut off a limb from a tree, that limb shrivels up and dies because it's separated from the life of the vine in it. And when we die physically, our soul and spirit, the immaterial part of us, which goes on forever, goes to one of two places. Maybe it goes to heaven to be with the Lord, or it goes to the lake of fire, which is eternal death. And this is the last thing Jesus wants, and that's why he's called the Savior. And a Savior, by definition, saved. He came seeking to save those who are lost. But what's required there is a new birth. And a new birth comes through Jesus. But what's hindering us all from a new birth is the sin in our life. And so if we're going to live with Jesus forever, we lose a perfect place called heaven. We're going to have to get our sin removed, and that's what the problem is. None of us have the ability to remove our sin. The Bible's very clear, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, we've all lied and things. I asked the children this week if they ever told a lie, and they all agreed to it. Usually there's one that doesn't. But they all agreed. I was impressed this week. And we've all done that. We've all violated God's holy righteous standard. God is a perfectly just God, associates a penalty for that sin. That penalty is death or separation. And so we all deserve, because of our choices, to go to the lake of fire. But since God is a God of love, and this is where Jesus comes in, Jesus satisfied the only justice that he demands. Jesus, who is God, became a man. And the difference between Jesus and you and me is he never sinned, he lived a perfect life. And he came as the Lamb of God to offer himself as a sacrifice in our place to pay for our sins. And that's why the Bible calls it good news. And so he came to give life. And if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, this is what awaits you. But if you do, you're only going to die once. You're only going to die once. Christ went to the cross and he cried out, it is finished. In the original language, that means paid in full. Because when he was on that cross, he had all of your sins and all of my sins upon himself. He paid what God demanded in full and cried out, it's finished. It is finished. The payment's been made. And the proof that God accepted his payment, Christ rose from the grave. He lives forevermore. And the life that you desperately need and I desperately need is offered freely to any and all to make a choice. A choice to accept life. And so Jesus made those very important words. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he explained later what it takes to make that change. John 3:16, a verse that's very familiar with a lot of people, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. How you receive eternal life is offered freely to simply believe. You choose to believe, and that means to trust and rely on, just like you're relying on that shirt of the book. When you rely on the Lord Jesus Christ, the promise that he made, if you can't break, is that you receive everlasting life. Because he's the one that removed the sin in your life. If you could remove your own sin from your own life, you wouldn't need to save God. But all the good works in the world can't remove sin. Sin is something we're stuck with. In fact, one of the verses we went over this week is Isaiah 1:18, which says, your sins are like scarlet. And scarlet is a permanent dye made from bugs that you couldn't wash out. And we can't wash away our own sins, but Jesus came and shed his blood, died in our place, removed sin. And since sin has been removed, the moment you make a choice to trust Christ, you're born again, you receive everlasting life, and by its very definition, you can come to an end. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the news that we shared with his children this week, and it's our purpose to do that. So let's all say it again, kids. If you're
born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you die once.
So one of the songs that we sang this week actually tied into that thought for the day. Do you know you've been born again? And so I'm just going to help you with this. By the way, feel free to join in. This is just for the kids. It's for all of us to sing. So let's all try to sing this one together. Do you know you've been born again?
Hi, my name is Angie Gustafson, and Jolene Miller, Jill Rogers, Tammy Adams, Angela Adams, Whitney Kuza, and Katie Rupert and I got to teach 25 kids, almost all of them came, stories from the life of Joseph this week. The kids are excited to share with you what they learned. Sorry, I'm not done yet. As you can see from their outfits, they learned that Joseph got a special coat. His brothers felt jealous. We learned that jealousy is a sin, and we learned this verse. Okay, we learned that everyone sins. We also learned that God is perfect and that God stayed with Joseph even when a lot of sad things happened to him. And then we learned that God is trustworthy. He never leaves us, and he always keeps his word. We can trust Jesus Christ alone to get us to heaven because he died for our sins and rose again. Listen to the promise we learned in the next verse. In that verse, God promises that we are saved when we believe on Jesus Christ. Our final song reminds us that God promises he is always near, so we do not need to be afraid.
He is kind, he is with you. I need two kids from Mr. Rupert's class. Come on up and hold this. How about Mr. Rupert for the picture? Son, when you see a smiling face here that represents the words, happy am I, feel free to sing along.
Jill Lachlan, and I have the privilege of teaching along with Mrs. Model, Mrs. Watney, Mrs. Curtis, Mrs. Schutte, and Mrs. Bender was a helper, and Mr. Schmitz, and also Lizzie Runday. And we had an awesome time with these kids. They were very cooperative and eager learners and eager participants. So a lot of our helpers acted out lots of the stories, and the kids were part of it, and it was actually one of the best classes we've ever had. And I was proud of them because they learned a lot of Bible verses, and most of our kids came away with rewards and prizes because of their hard work. So thanks for sending them to Bible school. So we're going to share with you a little bit about what Elisha's life was like. He did. He was a prophet in Israel, and he was a blessing to those he served. And unlike Elijah, who called on judgment, he actually lived among the people, and he cared, and he sought to meet even just very trivial needs in their lives at times. And he also is an instrument to bring salvation even to individuals that were Israel's enemies. So he went out of his way to meet the needs of those that had an open heart towards knowing or wanting the knowledge of the true God. So we saw how God is holy and must judge sin, but in mercy, he meets his own righteous demands through the person of his Son. His grace comes to us freely by Christ. And there's many stories of mercy in our life of Elisha story. So we're going to do a short little skit for you right now. Unfortunately for Elisha, life as the nation's prophet wasn't always easy. After he saw his master Elijah taken up to heaven in a whirlwind, some teenagers met him on the road.
Hey, Baldy.
Go up, Baldhead.
Hey, Baldhead, why don't you go up to Baldy?
So Elisha pronounced a curse, and then... Come on, Mary. We learned that we too need salvation as we cannot match God's holy, righteous character set forth in Psalm 5:4, which says, "For you are not a God who takes pleasure in evil, nor shall evil dwell with you." Most of Elisha's life was characterized by showing great care and kindness to people. Once, there was a widow. And the widow had a problem.
Yeah. I'm going to take your sons as slaves. If you don't pay me the money you owe me right now, or maybe 10 minutes later, however long it takes, it better be soon.
So the widow went to Elisha for help. So they borrowed as many jars as they could from the neighbors and brought them back to her house. And God did an amazing miracle. He filled them, and she sold all the oil to pay the debt. God showed his care for people outside Israel too, through a little servant girl who was taken as a slave by Captain Naaman and his wife. This servant girl waited on Naaman's wife and took care of her. She was faithful, even though she was outside of her country and her land. Poor Captain Naaman, he had the dreaded disease of leprosy. And our sin is a lot like leprosy. It starts out small, then spreads and can't be cured except by God's divine intervention. From Elisha's day to now, salvation has always been the same through Jesus Christ. Well, the little servant girl, feeling bad for Naaman having this incurable disease, remembered her God, and having compassion on her master one day, she said,
"I know a prophet in Israel who can cure your leprosy."
So Naaman got a letter from the king of Syria, and he set off for the land of Israel to find a cure for his leprosy. So they went off and got gifts of gold, silver, and royal robes, $100,000 worth in today's money. And since Naaman was very wealthy, he was the commander in charge of Syria, he brought servants with him and his chariots to try to go find Elisha in the land of Israel. Well, eventually, Elisha got word that the king of Israel was stressed out over Assyrians seeking a cure in Israel. So he ended up sending for Naaman. And
Naaman, you can go knock on Elisha's door.
Thinking he was going to meet the prophet himself, his lowly servant comes out to greet him. Well, Naaman was, this seemed pretty ridiculous to him, and he was in a bad rage. Naaman,
out front here. Come out here.
He was not happy that the prophet himself did not meet him. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And 3:5. And just as Naaman had to believe in the cure offered, so we must believe in the remedy God provides for his sins. Revelation 1:5b also reminds us that only through Jesus Christ's blood shed for our sins can we be made clean and fit for God's perfect sinless heaven. Revelation 1:5.
To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
From Elisha's day to now, salvation has been promised and guaranteed through Jesus Christ. Do you know that your sins are forgiven? We hope you do. Acts 10:43 says,
him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins.
Acts 10:43. The end.
Thank you.
Good job, please. In the interest of time, we're just going to go to the older middle class. So they're going to come up now and show us the neighbor of the school.
My name is Nick Rupert, and I had the privilege of teaching the oldest middle class here this week at VBS. We had a big class, 21 kids, most days, so it was a busy class, but it was, like Jill had mentioned, it was probably one of the best classes we've ever had at VBS this year. So thank you very much for sending your children to VBS this week. It was truly a privilege to have them in class. We had some excellent helpers, and Mr. Jake Gustafson, Mrs. Lefevre, and Mr. Adams. Couldn't have done it without them as well. Our lessons this week were from the book of Joshua, and Joshua is a steadfast example of trusting God and his word. Even when he was given the intimidating task of leading the nation of Israel after Moses had died, the responsibility of leading the nation into the promised land, of crossing the Jordan River, and again even leading military campaigns against great fortified cities. Joshua sought God's will and trusted God's word even at times when the reasons why or God's plans may have been hard to understand, yet God always proved himself to be faithful. So we also saw in the character of God his amazing faithfulness, his comfort, his encouragement, his guidance, his mercy, and provision for all those who trust in him. So now the children are going to share what they've learned this week with you.
We first learned that after Moses' death, God chose Joshua to lead the nation of Israel into the Promised Land. This was a huge task, leading what may have been more than 2 million people with all their possessions, livestock, into a new land where they would have to fight many battles against strong enemies and fortified cities. But God had taught and prepared Joshua for this task. He had learned the importance of fully trusting the Lord and his word, and seeing God deliver the nation out of Egypt, and through 40 years of wandering in the desert wilderness, and with his new role as leader of the nation of Israel, God encouraged Joshua to be strong and very courageous, and that God would be with him just as he had been with Moses. Our theme verse for this week has been Joshua 1:9.
Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We learned of God's faithfulness in protecting the two Israelite spies sent into Jericho from capture. God used the unlikely person of Rahab, and though she lived an immoral life, God honored Rahab's faith. She trusted in the God of Israel. Knowing he was the one true living God, she knew that God was giving the land to them. God honored her faith, and for keeping the Israelite spies safe, she was promised that if she would mark her home with a red cord from the window, she and her family would be protected during the Israelites' attack on the city.
Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
We saw that God is able to provide exactly what is needed, exactly when it is needed. He provided exactly what Joshua needed to lead the nation into the Promised Land when he miraculously stopped the waters of the flooded Jordan River to provide safe crossing for the whole nation of Israel. As they walked across on dry land, just as they had when God divided the Red Sea for the previous generation of Israelites, when God delivered them out of Egypt. Waiting on God for his perfect will in his perfect time is worth it.
Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
We learn that God alone is able to fight our battles when we trust him and are willing to do his will and his way. His plan for defending the city of Jericho may have seemed like foolishness. The Israelites silently marched around the city once a day for 6 days, and seven times on the seventh day, and then they blew some horns and shouted. But God provides the victory for Joshua and the nation of Israel. On the seventh day, at the sounds of the trumpets and the shout of the people, the walls tumbled down. And they easily conquered the city. God kept Rahab and her family safe. The Israelites kept their promise to Rahab, providing her and her family deliverance from destruction.
First Thessalonians 5:24. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. The end.
Hey guys, grab some of those blocks. Grab the blocks. Nope. Grab the blocks.
I'm gonna sing and sing and sing.
time, we're going to have the oldest class come up and show us what they learned. I taught this class, and I had help from Jesse Schutte and Blake and Allison Best and Mrs. Schmitz, Linnea Schmitz. We also talked about Joseph and take away.
This week at PBS, our oldest class examined the biblical account of the life of Joseph. Over the 3 days, we learned principles about envy, temptation, and God's providential care. Despite mistreatment and ill circumstances, Joseph remained faithful to the one true God and trusted that he would be delivered in God's timing. By the end of his life, he could say to the very people who had sold him into slavery, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Our story begins with Joseph in Canaan, the 11th son of Jacob. Although he was young, 17 years old, his father favored him above the other sons and went as far as to give Joseph authority over his brothers in taking care of the family flock of sheep. Being the trustworthy worker he was, Joseph reported his brother's laziness. If this wasn't an insult enough, Jacob decided to give Joseph a special tunic. Things could only get worse when Joseph started having dreams.
Hey, bros, how's it going?
Oh, no, not him again.
Guess what? I had the weirdest dream. Another weird dream.
Oh, no. It better not be the weeds dream.
Not the weed dream.
So basically, the sun, moon, and 11 stars all bow down to me.
So you're implying that we're going to eat the dust around your feet?
I don't know.
What do you think? You're going to rule over us or something?
Come on, guys. Let's get up here and have this checkup. Let's go feed our sheep. The Bible says that the brothers hated Joseph. Hated him more and hated him even more. But the root cause of it all was envy. Proverbs 14:30 states, "A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones." Jacob asked Joseph to travel to Shechem to check up on his brothers, where he found they had traveled on to a different city. So Joseph went the extra mile and kept going until he came to Dothan. His brothers spotted him from afar off and started plotting.
"Hey, look, guys, I spy with my little eye, your little rainbow man."
Let's
shed no blood.
There's
a pit over there. Let's put him in that empty well.
"Bros, my bronies, how is it going?" "What are you doing? What are you doing?"
Just as the brothers sat down to a nice celebratory lunch, they saw a band of slave traders approaching.
"Hey, why don't we make some cash off that rainbow man?"
"Let's make some cash."
"Stay off of me."
"What do you think?"
"I give you my precious steed. Goodbye, Fluffy."
Joseph ended up as a slave in the home of Potiphar, one of the Egyptian Pharaoh's generals. Despite his circumstances, Genesis 39 tells us that the Lord was with him, and Joseph was allowed to prosper. Even in this new role, Romans 8:28 reminds us, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Potiphar trusted Joseph so much that he gave him control over all aspects of his household. However, Joseph was to be tested yet again.
Joseph!
Well, hello, Mrs. T. What can I help you with?
I'm tired of Potiphar. I want you to be my husband instead. How about, you know, we go on a chariot ride together?
What are you talking about, Mrs. T? That is a great wickedness. It's sin against God. I'm honored.
Then you're not him.
Enraged and irritated that she didn't get what she wanted, Potiphar's wife ultimately lied about Joseph to her husband, which resulted in his arrest. Thankfully, the Lord was with Joseph even in prison and had a greater purpose in mind. While in prison, Joseph interpreted dreams, which eventually landed him in the palace to interpret a dream for Pharaoh. Joseph was able to assist in managing Egypt in a time of great need and save many lives because of it. By the end of his life, Joseph could truly say that God meant it all for good. Likewise, we can trust the Lord's way is always perfect. Let's say 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done.
Enjoyed our program tonight. If you've got time, we've got all kinds of stuff to munch on, some goodies for a time of fellowship in the back, and so you can stick around. Please eat it all. You can appreciate that. As we bring our service to a close, we're going to sing one more song. We're going to stand as we sing it. Let's see. And I need a little helper. Come on up, man. Now let's sing Salvation. Let's all stand and sing it together.